Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Aren't you interested in learning breakthrough wealth building strategies? Such as how to flip a home in less than 2 weeks using other people's money with no real estate license? Or how to build a low-cost home-based business? You can discover how to take passive income from any source and invest it into real estate, stocks, or business to become financially independent investing in any market with Residual Roads Business Institute. Collaborate with Andre and other Residual Roads advisors to create a free action plan and start implementing strategies today. Go to www.residualroads.com or email info@residualroads.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. You've been searching for different ways to become financially independent or generate passive income to live out your life's purpose as you've seen others do it, but need insight on how. Well, get excited because here you'll discover the tips and resources to fulfill that need. Andre Stewart has spent more than a decade successfully making it happen for himself and others. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
Hello, guys, and welcome to another episode of Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart. And today I want to talk about the election and the results and how it's going to affect the stock market or how it already has affected the stock market. The first thing I want to talk about is why people are so confused at how the results turned out. I know the polls were completely wrong. I mean, people should not even pay attention to the polls anymore because they were wrong in 2016. They were super wrong this time. I mean, it couldn't be any more wrong. Everyone thought it was going to be a landslide. So many people, I think, is a record with the amount of people that, you know, early voted. In my mind, along with everyone else's mind, even the president thought that all of these votes that came out early, like 100 and I think it was like 109, were all to pretty much get him out of the chair when in fact it was not the case. I was talking to one of my friends and I was like, the difference between last time, I think with Obama, when everyone came out and voted, you knew it was to get Obama in the chair. He was the first black president. So you knew everyone turned out to make that happen. But in this case, I was like, it's kind of confusing because you don't know exactly what people are going to do. You kind of felt like, well, Trump has done a bad job. These people are trying to get him out the chair. But in fact, it was to actually try to keep him in the chair. What? My friends, some of them are upset because a lot of them are Democrats and they're like, man, I can't believe this. This is absurd. But if you look back, look at the voting map and majority of the South, the Midwest, you know, some parts of the Northwest and the Midwest for sure is all red. But if you think back to the Civil War back in the 1800s, like 1860 to I think it was 1861 to 1865, it was a war between the South, the North, and some of the Western states. That's pretty much the same thing that's going on right now. So 7 months ago, I had a conversation with my friends about America not really being any different. And they were like, oh, they're taking down these statues. They're doing this. They're doing this. This is a real movement. And I'm like, okay, we'll see if it's a real movement when certain things foundationally really take place. And so, you know, the election happened and they were, you know, very distraught about what happened. And I'm like, why are y'all baffled or confused on what's going on? In my mind, I'm like, this makes sense because if you look at the voting map, the regions are still the same as they were back then when it came down to the Civil War between the Confederates and the people that were, you know, pretty much trying to go against what they stood for. It's the same thing. So nothing has really changed. And I wrote a book that's, I wrote two books. One is on the verge of coming out in, I believe it's coming out in April or May. I can't give the title for that one. But the book that pertains to this is called The Innovation of Slavery. And I may change the title, but right now that's what the book is going to be called, The Innovation of Slavery. But my PR person said, it'd be a good idea to change it to something else to keep the controversy surrounding that title. But anyway, I don't know. Well, that's another whole other conversation. But it's called The Innovation of Slavery. And now my opinion, I think that's pretty much what happened. I don't think slavery was abolished, because if you look at everything that goes on, slavery, in fact, did not get abolished. It was innovated. So it was innovated to include every single nationality. It doesn't have anything to do with Black, white, Mexican, Puerto Rican, Cuban, nothing. It's pretty much inclusive to all people. And I'll break it down in that book why I feel that way. Because if you look at the history behind slavery, you'll understand why I say it was innovated. I don't want to go into all the details of that right now, but the book will be out maybe in 18 months. This one has to come out first, and then that one will follow. But I don't think that anything has really changed, in my opinion. It's just, you know, like anything, like life, like technology, everything gets innovated. And if the foundational development of a country, like America, for instance, what it was, what it was founded on, I don't see how that can be changed. If your house is built on a particular foundation, it's going to be that foundation until you decide to rip the house down and break apart that foundation. And that has not happened in America yet. So this is why I'm like, why are you guys confused on what's taking place? Because the voting map for years has been the same. The red states have been the same for the most part, and the blue states have been the same. The South will almost always be red, the Midwest as well, and the North and the West, you know, they were colonized at different points in time. Some parts are newer, and up North, it's just completely different. I get the swing states, you know, that can go either way. But for the most part, I'm like, man, this makes complete sense. And so they're like, well, I don't understand why Latinos are voting for Trump. I think in their mind, they feel like anyone who votes for Trump's party is racist. And to me, that is not the case. I think everybody's situation is different. And there's a lot of closet Republicans out there, especially in the minority communities, because the way the politics work in America, in this case, if you're a Trump supporter, if you're a Republican, you got to be racist, which is not the case. You know what I mean? Everybody's scenario is different. So like, for instance, Latinos really, really came out and showed support for Republicans this year because Democrats are so, you know, for abortion, and most Latino culture is pro-life. Also, you know, under Biden's plan, he wants to cut taxes and he wants to do stuff, you know, certain things for government assistance. But immigrants can't really benefit from government assistance. They pretty much benefit from small businesses, which 49% of the U.S. economy is small businesses. So Latinos benefit from under the table, depending on where you are, getting paid that way. And so Biden's plan is going to cut taxes, which is going to limit job growth. So it makes sense why the Latino culture is going for Republicans, because they don't agree with abortion. They don't agree with tax cuts, which is going to, you know, postpone job growth. So why would you vote Democrat if you are Latino, or you from, you know, wherever part of the region you are, like Mexico or Cuba or somewhere like that? It just would not make sense. And that's why the turnout this time around is a lot greater, because I think people finally understand that it's more than just about race. It's more than about, you know, what color someone is. And I think there's a lot of people that are closet Republicans, and they saw Biden's plan, and they know that for them, it's not a good look for them. And so that's why I think the turnout this time was as strong as it was, because I think people knew that if Biden comes in, this is what's going to happen to me. And I understand that too, from a standpoint of capital gains tax and owning a couple businesses, that's going to obviously adversely affect me if Biden came in. I'm not saying I voted for Trump or Biden. I actually didn't even vote for either one of them. I voted locally on the things that matter to me, which are different props in California, because that's where I'm at. So I voted on all those different things that are going to matter to me. I didn't necessarily vote for a president, because at the end of the day, to me, I don't think it matters who the president is. I think it matters who the House of Representatives is and the Senate, because those two things, all of it goes hand in hand, honestly. But there are certain things that can't get passed. You know, even if the president decides to do something, he still has to get it approved through multiple channels. And so for me, that's why I was like, all right, well, it's going to take a while for Biden's plan to kick in. But all these different things that I'm voting on in California are going to take effect a lot quicker than what Biden proposes. So to me, again, it didn't really matter. Also, an interesting fact that anytime the House is split, the economy does better. And so one thing that was affecting the stock market, because everyone kept talking about there's going to be a blue wave, it's going to be, you know, Democrats taking over the House, the Senate, you know, the presidency, all of these different things, and that would have killed the economy. But the good thing about what happened is, if you look statistically, if the House is divided, the economy does a lot better. If the House is one-sided, the economy performs 10% worse, you know, depending on, like I said, how the House goes. And so if you have all blue side or all red side, it's always a 10% dip in the economy. So one thing that I was paying attention to the most, for the most part, is who's going to win the Senate. The Democrats have the House on lock. That's not going to really change. But in this particular case, it's going to be still Republican Senate, which, again, guys, is good for us. I don't know, people listening, I don't know what your political views are, but don't think it's all always about race. Like I was telling my friends also, I don't think people really look at what they're voting on. I asked a ton of people if they knew what they were voting on, and they were like, you know, they didn't know, have a clue what they were voting on. They were just voting based on the color, which is so stupid, because pretty much if your mom is a Christian, you're going to be a Christian. And that's what it came down to. It's like, if your mom is a Democrat, or your family's Democratic, then you're going to be a Democrat, which does not make sense, because if you're within a certain demographic as an adult on your own, and your parents might not be in that same demographic as you, why would you vote? And the Democratic plan is going to hurt you economically or hurt your situation. Why would you do that? You know what I mean? So if it makes sense for your situation at the time to be Republican, then vote Republican. I don't know. I think majority of the people in America look at politics in a very skewed way. And the government, for the most part, in every country, you know, pretty much controls how the economy is going to work. So, for instance, the government in Venezuela is horrible, right? You see what happened with the currency. Venezuela is a country of so many resources, so many natural resources. If they can ever figure that out, that country would boom. And the same thing with Iraq, the Iraqi dinar. They have so much oil reserves. If their government can figure that part out, I mean, the Iraqi dinar will be worth, you know, four times what the dollar is worth. You know, but it all comes down to the government. So the prime minister, the president, they can have that, right? They have these things in place, but the government is not intact fully, and therefore the currency is worthless. The same thing with China. China is killing the entire world in every aspect and as far as economically. But because their government is so jacked up, they're going to be a second world country. They're in the process right now of trying to figure that part out with taking back Hong Kong and all the things that they're doing. Watch when they figure it out. Whenever they figure out their government and they become a first world country, it's over. It's over for America, because they're the biggest creditor to the entire world. I mean, oh my God, I don't think people understand really what's going to happen when China figures that part out. The ramifications of what's going to happen with the U.S., even globally, is going to be earth-shattering. So people are, you know, so focused on some of the dumbest things when it comes to politics, and they have no idea on what they're voting for and how it's affecting their personal economy. They're just basing it off of, you know, mainstream media and all these other things that don't even really matter. The issues that I see at the end of the day, which most people didn't go to school for politics, and most of the country, to me, in my opinion, are uneducated about this kind of thing. And it's like, you making your decision uneducated. And so you making America worse than what it is. And I was also having this conversation with a group of my friends. I do these different things just to gauge. I mean, because if you can get an answer from 1 out of 10 people, I mean, you can kind of do the math on that and understand that the masses probably think the same way out of that 10 people that you did a survey on. And so I was like, you know what? Here's a question. I said, if a Black person decided to hire only Black people and he had a staff of 10, and he decided to hire all 10 Black people, would that be racist? And I'm like, well, how is that not racist? A Black person or a Latino or an Indian person can go out here and hire someone of their own nationality and it not be racist. But if a white person goes out here and decides to hire a staff of nothing but white people, that's racist. I mean, like, are you serious right now? And that's what I mean by the ignorance of people in our society. And I'm thinking, this makes no sense. And people wonder why America's in this cyclical phase that we can't grow out of in terms of racism, because we just keep it going. It's perpetuated by everybody. So it's like, if you go out here as a Black person or whatever nationality you are, and you decide to hire only your kind, then be okay with another nationality doing the same thing. It's not one-sided, and it seems like that's just how it is. And I feel like Americans are entitled, some more than others, because of their nationality. But I think as a whole, we just have this entitlement that we feel like we're owed something from everybody for whatever reason. And people wonder why you got people from other countries and they come over here and they own like 10 or 15 7-Elevens. These people were poor in their country, clearly, because they obviously the economies in other countries, the currencies are a lot less than in America. So if they come over here, even with the money they have, it's going to get slashed immediately once they get over here. But nonetheless, they come from Africa, India, Latin America, and they come over here and they get on their grind because they don't have these limiting beliefs saying, well, this person owes me this, or I'm going to sit around and wait on this, or this party owes me this. They don't have these ideologies that Americans have because we were here, we went through the school system, we were in this system that makes us believe all of these different things that we shouldn't believe. And that's why, again, they come over here, they open up restaurants. They especially in LA, people have these food carts, or they'll, you know, save up 20, 30 grand and buy a food truck. And they'll do all these different things that people in America just do not do. And they wonder why America's the way it is, because we have this entitlement attitude, like we just deserve to get, I don't know, man. I didn't have that upbringing. My mother's from Georgia, but my dad, his side of the family is Liberian. Come from a family of entrepreneurs, so I've always had that mindset. And then my parents are military. We moved around, and I've lived in over, 35 cities, 12 states, traveled to a bunch of countries. So my view is going to be completely different than a lot of people's views. But when I lived in the hood with my grandmother, you know what I mean? Everybody, we kind of all were on food stamps. We all had the same kind of lifestyle. It wasn't until I got out on my own and started living with my parents and, moving to different places where I started interacting with different types of people. So my view, and people are like, oh man, you need to choose a side. No, I don't. Like, I'm neutral because I know better. And when you know better, you do better. So when I didn't, I never was a voter. That just wasn't my thing because I always thought the way I did. I was never really into voting. I think I might have voted twice in my entire life. Not saying it's good or bad, but I decide like, well, I control my own economy. It doesn't matter what president is saying. I've never really felt the effects of any president. So to me, I'm like, it don't even matter if I vote or not. The only thing that I did see beneficial for me at any given time was Trump with the opportunity zones because I'm in real estate. But outside of that, I mean, it didn't really apply to me. But I just feel like the culture of America is that. Like, I go to Colombia a lot. Medellin, almost everybody in Colombia is an entrepreneur, or they have an entrepreneurial mind, from the women to the kids. Like, everyone just has that mindset because that's how the economy is. It's hard to get a job. And if you do get one, you're not going to get paid that well. So what are you going to do? You're going to figure out how to generate your own economy because they can't depend on their government to do anything because their government's corrupt. They got to survive, so they do whatever they have to do. In America, that's not the case. You can depend on the government to give you all kind of stuff, right? You get food stamps, you get money from them, you get so many different things, and it's tax-free. And people still be like, well, I can't make it. And I'm like, well, how can you not make it? First of all, you're on Section 8. If you're getting government assistance, you're probably getting food stamps. You're probably getting some type of money from the government, and your housing is cheap. The reason why I know this is because I grew up in that. So I'm not speaking from something that I don't know about. I was on government assistance twice, and I grew up on government assistance. So I know about them dropping off a box full of cereal, the government cheese, the government peanut butter. I know about all these different things. So I'm speaking from a place of experience. So what I'm about to say is not like it's something I don't know. You get all of these things and are tax-free, yet people be like, well, I can't make it. I mean, for each kid you have, I think you get $900. And then if you have a kid, I think it's $200 per kid. I think you also get $100 for yourself for food stamps. So, I mean, and then your rent, my grandmother, even her house right now, my grandmother still lives in the same house. Section 8, she pays $12 a month for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, like 1,000 square feet. So I know this. And she gets government assistance. So when I grew up, they would come by and drop off food for us because we didn't have it. And so obviously, I grew up and I was still on government assistance for whatever different periods of my life. And I would get food stamps. So I know that the money that I would get, it was tax free. So you got all these people that are sitting here saying, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. I mean, I'm a product of that environment and I'm doing what I'm doing now. And it wasn't the help that I got from anybody. I just, at one point in time, I was homeless. And then at another point in time, I was in Florida when I first got on my journey to where I am now. I didn't have a place to stay. I had my parents do some stuff where they just, you know, got me an apartment. I was like, leave me here. They dropped me off. They gave me $60 and they said, figure it out. So I would go to the library every single day, like a 2-hour walk. I didn't have anything else to do. I was trying to get a job, but I couldn't because I didn't have a Florida driver's license. So I couldn't do all these different things with, like, I had a check that I couldn't cash. All kind of stories that I can tell you. But I'm saying the I got to where I am is because I decided to, you know, go to the library and educate myself, pick up books and started reading. So that's what really changed up my mindset. And so I got all these different people that are in the same demographic as I was in, and they have all these excuses. And I'm like, man, other countries, they don't have the support that you get here. It's not even close to the support. And I think it's a handicap to a lot of people in different communities. And that's why I was going back to my topic of saying people from other countries don't have these belief systems that we have in America.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So they come over here and they crush it because they see the opportunity that most people here decide to omit because they don't have a reason to because they're getting government assistance. And so, man, it makes sense to me again why the people voted the way that they did. And so, in my opinion, I think some people in America are starting to wise up for whatever reason. Technology has bridged the gap for people to get more knowledge, and that could be what it is. I think they said there was more Blacks, specifically Black women, and minorities from low-income communities that voted Republican this time around, I think because they did their research and they see that Biden's plan is not going to be beneficial to them. If they did, like I mentioned in the beginning, well, my mom is a Christian, I'm going to be a Christian. If you're going to be a Democrat because your mom is a Democrat, if you see that that's not going to work for you, I think people are wising up and they're voting on what situation makes sense for them. And I think if you know Biden's going to try to raise minimum wage, he's going to try to do tax cuts, and you know you work for a small business, and that small business is going to get cut. As far as taxes go, they're not going to be able to pay you. So why would you vote for that? You know what I mean? If you're an immigrant and you can't give government assistance, why would you vote for that? If you believe that people shouldn't get abortions, why would you vote to be Democrat? And I think that's the disconnect with most people have in certain communities, and they'd be like, well, that's dumb. They think that everybody's a Republican is a racist, and that's actually not the case. Even if Donald Trump's a racist, that doesn't mean the entire Republican Party feels the same way that he does. I can understand why they wanted to get him out of the chair, because it could be a bad look for America, because it is. I mean, I was telling my friends also this. I think people don't like to have someone who's abrasive or who tells them how it is. Most people want that person that's going to be like, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. Versus that person that's like, yo, get your together because you're still doing the same thing you were doing 15 years ago and expecting a different result. They don't want that person that's going to be in their face. And I think Trump just doesn't care. And he just speaks his mind. And most presidents in the past have been PC. Biden, very PC. He's not going to be in your face about what he feels like you need to do. He's not going to call you lazy and tell you that, you know, you're a POS or whatever the case is. And I think that's what people have an issue with Trump, because, I mean, They say, what did Trump do for low-income America or black people? I mean, he created opportunity zones. Opportunity zones is huge. It's strictly for low-income communities. It's strictly for people to go out there, take their money, put it in low-income communities to build them up. And in return, you don't pay any taxes. I don't know anybody with money that's going to be like, nah, F that. I want to pay 45% capital gains tax. I'm not going to go help out black people. No, they're going to go over there and buy property in this community, fix it up, and write it off. Most people don't want to pay taxes. So any way that you can come up with a way around doing that, regardless of who's in that community, you're going to go do it. I don't know. He did something with prison reform. I haven't looked into that as much because I just have not. But for the sake of, you know, people saying that Trump hasn't done anything for low-income communities, he did that. I mean, that was huge. And Biden is going to come in and pretty much get rid of that, which does not make any sense. So he's going to come in and make the economy worse. And people aren't paying attention to that. They're just like, Trump sucks. Get him out of the office. And they're not worrying about how that's going to affect them for years to come. I will say this. Obviously, this is on a podcast and you can go back and play it. I think Trump is going to win in 2025. I think he'll be the next president because, again, look at how tight this race was. And it might not even have been this close had the media not pushed that it was going to be a landslide. More people might have showed up to vote. But that's what the media does. I mean, if you look at CNN, CNN lets you know exactly how they roll. There's no in-between. You know that they're all about the Democratic side. And Fox, obviously, they go with the Republican side for whatever reason. I mean, news channels do whatever they do, but the media control the narrative like they did with the last election. And that's why Trump won, because they did the same thing. People should stop looking at the polls. If they didn't figure that out between these last two elections and they decide to use it again, that would be so stupid. They obviously can't fix this. And again, why would you, like, this is the reason why I think America is what it is, because of the stronghold that media has. The minds of American people are deteriorating because of social media and media, what it feeds them, what it pushes, and people don't think for themselves. And so that's why I think we have will be the continuous cycle of racism. I came from where I came from, and it wasn't the help of a white person helping me out. I don't have a college degree, and I've done a lot of different things. I was a banker for 10 years. I'm doing what I'm doing right now. And it wasn't the help of any white person helping me out. It was because I decided to go out there and educate myself and further my education, whether it be me having a college degree, because I went to school, I did all of that, but I didn't finish for the sake of, I couldn't transfer my credit from one place to the next. So I don't have a degree, but I did get an education. But my education continued after I left school. I just continue to grow. I go to at least 25 to 30 seminars a year. I'm taking a course at MIT right now for real estate investing and development. How many people are out here expecting a different result than what they're getting? And so for me, I realized that I had a mentor who told me, man, I know you're a hustler. I was hustling at the time. He said, I know you're a hustler. That's cool. But the key is education. He said, once you get an education, that's going to unlock the key to where you're trying to go. And he was a millionaire. He was my pastor and he was black. So for me, that was the first time I had an interaction with a rich black person. I would sit down and talk to him all the time. He would enroll me in like money magazines. He would just do random things like that. That kind of made me be like, man, you know what? Let me learn. Let me educate myself on what it is I'm trying to do. And from me just learning through reading financial magazines, reading different books, that put me at the place of where I'm at right now. And that's what I think the issue is. My belief system changed because I changed the way I believed and I changed the way I thought. I think that's what the disconnect is in America. And I feel like we're going to always have this problem because there's under education in a form of finances, what education does, mindset, what the media does. And it's like Democrats push this agenda about printing money and wanting to give everybody money and do all these different things around socialism and believing that we can just create money and just give it to everybody so everybody's straight. But I think it doesn't matter how much money you give people if they don't have the education on how to balance their budgets and do a financial statement, they're going to always be in that same situation. So I'm like, well, I'm thinking about joining the Democratic Party. They have this thing out here in California for the district that I'm in, and it has Kamala Harris and a couple other people on the Democratic Party. And I'm like, I want to get in there and be like, look, it's one thing to give low-income communities money or black businesses money or minority businesses money. But it doesn't make sense if you give them money and they don't have the education on how to manage the money. Because if you give them 100 grand and you don't tell them how to spend it or how to use it, you pretty much taking it. If it's a loan, you pretty much just gave them a grant because you're not getting that money back. Because they don't know exactly how to spend the money to flip the money or whatever the case is. So how can you expect to just go out here and give money away and expect it to come back without educating these same people who are having a hard time? Because if they couldn't get the money from a bank, obviously the bank doesn't think they're credit worthy enough to give them money. So for you to go out here and want to give them 100 grand just because they're black or minorities, and thinking they're going to do something with that, that does not make any sense to me. So my idea is to go in there and be like, hey, look, I think it's great. I think we should give them money, but I think you should give it to them after they take an 8-week course on how to manage their funds or an 8-week course on how to run a business. When I was working in banking, we had programs that we did to get people, first-time home buyers, into a house, and we would give them an $8,000 tax credit towards the house, but they had to go through an 8-week program on home ownership. Why can't we do that in these low-income communities? I think that would make complete sense before we just start handing out money. It's like, all right, we're going to hand out money, but the stipulation is that you do this, this, and this, and this, and this. Because at the rate we're going, and we keep printing money, and we keep borrowing money, it's like having a credit card, and you at like 95%. And then you keep using that credit card. Now you're at 98%. Now you're at 100%. And now you don't have a job. So now you don't have a job, now you don't have an income coming in, and you're still using your credit card. However it's working out to where you can go over on your credit card. How are you going to pay the debt back? So it's like you got these businesses out here that you gave $100,000 to, but they don't have any income coming in. So how can they pay you back? So I think we need to do something around that if we want to be out here giving away money, because if not, we pretty much just hurt the economy and we're going further and further in debt. And again, it's just making the life of most Americans is unachievable for whatever goals they have, you know? So I think we just do better in regards to how we treat the community in which we want to give money to. So with that being said, I think the election pretty much really shows America who we are. I mean, we're a country that's divided, and it makes complete sense why we're this way. And people are coming at Trump like Trump's this, Trump that. But Trump is a product of America. You know what I mean? In my opinion, I always say I don't think Trump's racist. I think Trump is just a super, super spoiled rich kid. I mean, he's entitled. So he doesn't know what the other half of America had to go through, especially within the South or in the Midwest, because that's just not how he grew up. I don't think he's racist. I think he's just an entitled person, because if you look at how he treats everybody, his niece wrote a book about him. He treats everybody the same. He fires white people in his space. I mean, he comes at everybody. He talks about Asians. He talks about blacks. He talks about countries being, you know, pieces of crap. Like he does all of these different things. So I don't think he's racist. I think he's just Donald Trump, and he just says whatever he wants to say. He doesn't feel like he's going to have any repercussions. At the end of the day, man, he's an old white man. I mean, how many old people that you know of any nationality that don't have this direct attitude? You know what I mean? They say what they want to say, and either you like it or you don't. And once you reach a certain age and you've had certain life experiences, you can do that. It's unfortunate for him that he's a president. So I think people have this idea of what a president is supposed to be, and Trump didn't fit that for whatever reason. But what he did expose what America really is. And so now, and we got to confront ourselves. This election made us really see that we got some closet supporters of Trump or the Republican Party that people didn't know about. So I think it's a shame that we can't talk about our political views in America with our friends, because if we do, we get disowned because we want to choose one side. And that's one reason why in HR, in almost every company, you can't talk about religion and politics, because those turn into heated discussions and sometimes lead to arguments and fights. I think we know now where America is, and so we got to confront it. We got to just address the concerns that everybody has. And I mean, I honestly think Trump is going to get reelected again, unless Biden does something miraculous and shows he can do what he said in talking about not being a Democratic president. He's going to be a president for the people. Then that remains to be seen. And so I think if he can pull that off, and the society can really change, and some of this media narrative changes from what they keep pushing, I think America could come to a better place. But at the end of the day, like I wrote in my book, I think the fundamental foundational development of America would have to change as far as the belief system goes, because at the end of the day, most people's beliefs come from their parents, it comes from their upbringing, it comes from their environment. And for America, the foundation of America, it is what it is. It is what we see right now with the election. And I think fundamentally, it's going to be really hard to change that. That's why I think we'll always forever be in this cycle that we're in. People just got to learn how to navigate it and worry about their own selves and figure out what's right for them and do things within their community. I think you can't change the whole world, but if you can do things within your community and spark one or two brains in your community, and they go on and they move to another community and they do the same thing, I think that'll help. But it's got to be not just blacks, whites. It's got to be everybody. I think it's a collective thing that we got to do. But I think it's a long road, again, because I feel like this is America. And you would have to go through... I've done things on the study of the human brain and how humans work. And human behavior is unpredictable, but beliefs and the foundation always stays the same. So I think you would have to change the belief system of America, and I think that's impossible to do. It's going to just come down to each individual person changing their belief system in order to make this work. But as far as racism goes, I always say, man, in 50 years, everyone's going to be mixed. So this, what we have, it might not be the same issues in regards to racism, because we're going to be a mixed country. The Latino culture is obviously larger, portion of the population right now, and that's obviously going to just keep growing. So I think we'll have different issues. But looking at the map, like I said, the Civil War, the Battle of Gettysburg, it's the same thing, man. That was 1860. We're in 2020, and we still have these same battles. But on to the stock market. The stock market is performing well because we have a 50-50 Senate. So even if Biden won, I think Bank of America did this survey to where there was like, if Biden won and there was a split House, that'll be better for the economy. But if Biden won and there was a blue sweep, then it would have been bad for the economy, which makes sense. Statistically, it shows that, because if you got nothing but blue people in control of the country, then any agenda that the Democrats push is going to go through, because majority vote, they got the majority vote. But in this particular case, it's still divided, which is good. I mean, if you and your significant other agreed on everything, that would suck, right? I mean, it could be cool for a little bit, but there's no kind of pushback. There's no nothing, man. I think it's healthy for people to not agree on every single thing that there is. You know what I mean? Like, because again, look at the country. The country doesn't agree on everything that goes on here. So for us to have this dual party or just one party deciding for the entire country, that'd be unfair. So I think it makes sense for the Senate to be the way it is and for us to have Biden as president. So the stock market obviously reflects the same thing. Any educated investor is going to know that that's good, because if the Democrats push to go out here and spend $4 trillion in stimulus, if it was an all blue wave, everybody's going to agree that that's a good idea, which is a stupid idea, because it's going to push our debt even higher. So with Republicans in there as well, they're going to be like, look, if we spend $4 trillion on this, 5 years from now, our currency is going to be like Venezuela. And that's why I think it's good that they're in there, because they're going to think from a different side than what Democrats think. The stock market sees that. And so that's why it's going to start growing. This is what people were waiting on. I haven't put any money into the market because I was waiting to see what happened with the Senate, not necessarily who the president was. And other people shared my same views. I had a bunch of people that said, well, let me sell and see what happens with the president, and then I'll hop back in. And now it's going to start soaring. It's not going to boom and, you know, go straight up. But I think for the next couple of days, we're going to start to see it. It's going to correct. It's going to go. And now we're going to see the market start going and being like it used to be. So if you want in the stock market before, you should get in there right now, because we're kind of at the low point. From here, we're going to be in an expansion period for the next, you know, 5 to 7 years. So right now is the time to buy stocks, because it can't go nowhere but up. It ain't going down. People thought it was going to go down. It would have went down if the Democrats won the House, the Senate, and, you know, Biden became president. But now that's not the case. So get as much as you can. Make sure you buy the right type of stocks. obviously, we're still in a pandemic. Our focus on some stay-at-home stocks. The real estate industry is still moving kind of slow. We should start seeing some kind of traction within the next 2 or 3 months because the forbearances are coming due. They should all be gone by February. But Biden already said that he might do another lockdown. So I don't even know what to expect in real estate because they might push out the forbearances a little bit longer because we don't have a vaccine. So that could be a slow play as well. But I would get into stocks like Etsy, Snap, all these different stay-at-home stocks. I mean, you guys can do your own research on that. But man, I know people are still in shock about the election. It is what it is, man. This is America. So focus on you. Find the right stocks right now. Oil and gas. You know, when people are fearful, be greedy. I'm being greedy on energy stocks right now. Another play would be renewable energy because Biden is pro renewable energy. So I would definitely hop on renewable energy. I actually did. I bought a company called Renewable Energy Group, ticker symbol REGI, and it's up 219% for the year. So that would be one I would look at. And that's a great company. I bought it when it was like 20 bucks or something like that. Now it's at 52 and it's going to just go higher. So I would definitely look at take a look at that one and other energy companies because they're real cheap right now. And eventually we're going to get a vaccine and people are going to start flying again. So I would hop on some gas companies for sure, oil and gas companies. But guys, take a deep breath, move past the election. Most of the time, majority of the people aren't affected anyway. But if you guys want to change your life in between now and the next time we have an election, I would be buying as much stock as you can get. And in the meantime, as your stocks start to go up in value, you will be in a position, again, I always push this, to be able to buy real estate. And ideally, if you're pushing for, you know, helping low-income communities, look into opportunity zones, start an opportunity zone fund, and take your money from investing in stocks and buy in these opportunity zones to help out the low-income community. These are different things you can do. You can take advantage of the tax benefits from the Republican side, and then you can, if you're a Democrat, be on the side of helping out the low-income community. Think about what happened with the election as a good thing. It should raise your awareness of what is really like in America. And it also tells you that you can't believe everything you see in the media. Do your own due diligence, do your own research on whatever it is you want to do, whether it be voting, choosing stocks, or choosing your next president. You know what I mean? Take control of your own life and go out there, man. Don't depend on other people to get stuff done for you. You know what I mean? Don't feel entitled or whatever you might have. Change your belief system and believe what you want to believe. Put the work in. And you'll see that your life changes and you can create the life that it is that you want to create. Thank you guys and be on the lookout for the next episode. Take care.